Our epistle for this 10th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 2 through 11. Brethren, you know that when you were Gentiles, you went to dumb idols, according as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God says anathema to Jesus. And no one can say Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of workings, but the same God, who works all things in all. Now the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone for profit. To one through the Spirit is given the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another faith in the same Spirit. To another, the gift of healing in the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the distinguishing of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But all these things are the work of one and the same Spirit, who allots to everyone according as he wills. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable also to some who trusted in themselves as being just and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and began to pray thus within himself, O God, I thank thee that I am not like the rest of men, robbers, dishonest, adulterers, or even like this publican. I fast twice a week. I pay tithe of all that I possess. But the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes to heaven, but kept striking his breast, saying, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went back to his home justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. Thus far the words of today's epistle and holy gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Two men went up to the temple to pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, last Sunday we celebrated the Feast of St. Lawrence. We commemorated the Sunday. We didn't really meditate, at least in the ceremonies of the church and the liturgy, on the epistle and the gospel. But taking a look at the ninth Sunday and today the 10th Sunday after Pentecost, they both deal with the temple. Today we have a parable that our Lord speaks. Last Sunday in the 19th chapter of St. Luke, we have our Lord cleaning the temple. This is a house of prayer. You have made it a den of thieves. Before that, we see that our Lord looks down on the city of Jerusalem and weeps. Why does he weep? Because thou hast not known the time of thy visitation. Today, we read the parable where God, or where Christ, gives us a profound warning, especially about how we approach prayer and we approach the Lord. The temple, we are in the temple of God today. We will not leave here the same. Either we will be better or we will be worse. Either we will leave like the Pharisee, more full of ourselves, or we will leave with God and a more perfect union with him. And that's really all up to us. You see, we think for some reason that the world revolves around us. We make up our own little bubbles, snow globes, if you will, our own little world. And in our own little world, we go and determine the state of people. And we try to make them determine our own state and proclaim us good or just. And when it all comes down to it, it's nonsense. It's a waste of time. Let us speak about time for a moment. That time will come to a time where you will have a moment, minutes, an hour, a day, a couple days, 2 weeks, maybe a year. If you're lucky, you will have a year's warning that you are going to go from time to eternity. And in those moments, you're going to pause for a moment, or by God's grace, you will pause for a moment and start taking a look at the opportunities of grace that has been given and how we made use of them. Opportunities of grace. Opportunities are things that are not guaranteed. They're graces. But all these things are the work of the one and the same Spirit who allots to everyone according as he wills. We're given opportunity of grace today. Every time we're given that opportunity of grace, there's an opportunity to convert, to perfect, to become better. But in order to do that, we have to make a sacrifice. And the sacrifice starts right here and right now. And we make a sacrifice of ourselves. We admit of the only thing that we can truly have a claim of and by ourselves, and that's our fallen human nature and our weaknesses and our sins. Like the publican in the back, "O Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." Because mercy comes from the Lord, not from us. Grace comes from the Lord, not from us. Redemption comes from the Lord, not from us. Salvation comes from Christ, not from us. We didn't earn it. We're given the opportunity to be saved if we follow the prescriptions for salvation. We're given the opportunities to be redeemed if we follow Christ, if we deny ourselves, if we take up our cross. If what we have in control is decision, either we will decide to do what we must or not. There's a really scary quote in Scripture. Our Lord says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord.'" Now, pause for a moment and think about that. Not to everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," meaning they're making a prayer, they're talking to God, they're addressing him. So it's a true prayer, at least imperfectly. Much like when we go to confession and go because we're afraid, we don't want to go to hell. The church allows, or God allows us to have imperfect contrition. We don't want to lose heaven, but tries to encourage us to have that perfect contrition. But most of all, because I have offended thee, my God. Which far too often, if we were really honest with ourselves, I think it's one of those prayers we kind of just mumble over. We don't give thought to the words, give meaning to the words. And when we mean the words that we say when we pray, that means there's a change that has to take place in our heart. When we pray to our Blessed Mother, "Pray for us sinners," do I really focus on, "Yes, I am a sinner, I need her prayers"? No, we don't put the thought in it. Interesting, someone's making the act of contrition. They taught this prayer many times, or I had to correct students in the past. And I wonder how many of us pay attention to that, or how many of us pray it incorrectly. "Oh my God, I'm hardly sorry." Hardly? No, it's heartily sorry. It's from the heart. And that's what every prayer needs to be, from the heart. When we come into church and we genuflect and dip our hand in the holy water, we have to perform that exterior action with the interior motive of, "I am adoring God." It's not your house, it's his house. When you pray, you lift your heart, your mind, and soul to God. If you don't, then your prayer is ineffective. It doesn't work. If we come for a social event, when we come to the temple to pray, we're coming for the wrong reason. We come to participate, be a part of the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And so it's important for us to make good use of this opportunity of his grace, infinite grace. He gives to us not a gift wrapped in a box. He gives to us himself in all his goodness. He offers us a part with him in his life. You have come to the temple to pray. How will you pray? That quote, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven will enter the kingdom of heaven. You can say all the prayers you want, and if it doesn't follow by a change in your life, what use is it? If you make up your own reasons of why you need the Lord, or why you go to church, or why you receive the sacraments, and he's not that reason, then you have the wrong reason. My house is a house of prayer. Let us come then humbly and gratefully as we participate in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, or any time we enter into church, and do so thoughtfully in adoration and a demonstration of our love or our want to love God more perfectly every time we come to church. But remember, this is just a building. There's another church that you have to pay attention to. St. Paul calls us temples of God. When you have sanctifying grace and you leave church, you leave with God. We must not bury the talent. We have to share. You are the light of the world. Let it shine before men so that they might see your good works and rejoice in your Father who is in heaven. We don't give way to the gossip. We don't give way to the ways of the world, the fashions of the world. No, we are followers of Christ, and people will know it just by seeing us. But we have to make sure we take care of our own temple. Make sure the good Lord's in the tabernacle of our souls preserved and is honored by us there. How do we honor Christ? We call upon him. We communicate with him. We talk to him, and we let him talk to us. It's not a prayer just because you open a book, you read a bunch of words. A prayer is a communication between us and God, a dialogue. Oftentimes we don't stop, make our world quiet, turn off our TV or our phones and talk to God. The silent man hears God. So let us make good use of the opportunities given to us, so that when that time does come, when we are called to go from time to eternity, we will know where we're going. Because the God who has been a part of our life will invite us to be a part of his eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.